All right, it's come time for the preaching, so let's get those Bibles out. Turn over to 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings chapter 18. Just going to read one verse here. Second Kings chapter 18, it details the beginning of the reign of a king of Judah, King Hezekiah. And he was a godly king, one of the godliest kings Israel ever had. But we're going to just grab one verse here, just an interesting verse from which we'll springboard with our message. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse number 4. Says, "He removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan." All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll get into the message here this morning. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for giving us a house to come in to sing your praises and to look at your word. Lord, I pray that you fill me with your spirit. Lord, I pray that I communicate these truths effectively. And Lord, that you make our hearts tender to hear your word. Lord, that we change and we leave here closer to you than how we came in. Lord, I think especially if there's one in here who has never put their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, that today be the day that that happens. And Lord, that you draw them and that they submit and yield their lives to you, Lord, and trust in you for salvation. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So our text here mentions the brazen serpent that Moses had made. Really an interesting account here. And Hezekiah comes to the throne, instantly begins turning the nation back to God. His father was a very godless, a very wicked king, one of the worst that the kingdom of Judah had. And so he ascends the throne, Hezekiah does, and he's like, we need to turn back to God. And you see him breaking down high places and images and the groves, and we would expect that from somebody who is trying to turn a nation back to God. These are the idols that were put in place, the places of worship, the shrines to worship false gods. So that stuff needs to be destroyed. We expect that. You see it happen several times through Judah's history. But we also have a reference to here this brazen serpent. And he decides it needs to be broken in pieces. And because the children of Israel had taken this brass serpent, and they turned it into an idol. They were burning incense to it. Now, for those who maybe need a little refresher here, this brazen serpent had been made by Moses under God's instruction. The children of Israel had been complaining. Back in Numbers chapter 21, has this account. But they had been complaining. God sent poisonous snakes into the midst of the congregation. They began biting people. The people cried out to Moses for help. Moses cried out to God, and God says, you need to make a serpent of brass, put it on a pole, and then everyone who looks at the pole will be healed from the poison that they have been stricken with. And so it was the serpent here is a symbol of God's judgment for sin, but it's also a symbol of God's mercy, that God would not leave them without some recourse, without some mercy being extended. All they had to do was look at this brass serpent on the pole. Christ himself in John chapter 3 would reference this serpent and said, as Moses lifted up the serpent of the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So he even likens himself to this serpent, that all who look to Jesus for salvation will be saved, just like those who looked at the pole for salvation from the poison, physical salvation. Christ says, everyone who looks to me for spiritual salvation will be saved. But Christ's reference and this reference here in our text are the only other times in Scripture that the brazen serpent is mentioned at all. So it's an interesting account here that we see. We have no idea where it has been kept. I assume in the tabernacle, maybe in the temple after Solomon built the tabernacle. We don't know what it was being used for. But no doubt it was used as a memorial early on in Israel's history. Man, you remember that time, especially for those who would have been there, or maybe their fathers or mothers were there. They would look at that brass serpent and say, remember when, yes, God judged his people, but he also extended that mercy to him. So it was no doubt used as a memorial of God's mercy early on. But by the time Hezekiah ascends the throne, we can infer from our text that Israel had been idolizing it for quite some time. At least during the reign of Ahaz, we would expect that, but it could have been even prior kings as well, that they had been burning incense to this serpent. They had taken something that was good, that had been a memorial for good, and they had turned it into something wrong, something evil, something that God had said, you shall not do. You're not supposed to burn incense to any other thing outside of God himself. That's what he had instructed Israel numerous times. And this, I think, using this as an illustration, it can be the case in our lives as well. We all have memorials that we have set up in our life. And now a memorial is created to preserve the memory of some past thing or some past event. But many times, it actually becomes a distraction. And sometimes we end up idolizing this memorial from our past, and we turn it into something that it is not supposed to be. And again, memorials in our mind can even be—they can be established without without us even realizing it. What are those things that our mind constantly goes back to? That seems like not a day goes by that we don't think about this particular thing for minutes on end, or even a little bit more sometimes. So we memorialize, in a sense, things in the past that have impacted us or are still impacting us today. Now, these memorials can be helpful. And we're going to get into a little bit later. God commanded the children of Israel. He commands the church. There are some memorials that we need to set up, that we need to establish, that we need to keep. But there can be also very dangerous in our spiritual life if we are not careful. So the main purpose here of this message is I want to get us to examine our lives to see if there's something in our life or something in our mind that we have memorialized that has taken our focus off of God. That no longer are we giving our all to God. That our thoughts, no longer are we meditating on the Word of God and the things that He has done for us in the past. We're meditating on something else in our past. And it is getting our focus off of God. And again, we all have things in our life that we look back on. Maybe a past major victory in our life. Or maybe a past tragedy in our life. We all have things that we look back on. And these memories, sometimes we set up these memorials to them. And they're something that we go back to over and over, and we remember these, whether we remember past emotions that we had with them or whatever, however it leads you back to. But we all have them. And again, they're not necessarily bad, but we need to make sure we keep them in proper context and in proper focus. I will say there should be things set up in your life that remind you of God's working in the past, in your life, of how God moved in your life. You should have things that you go back to and say, I remember when God moved. And that can be a great help and a comfort for us. But today's focus here of the message is going to be on the dangers that we see sometimes in these memorials. So we're going to look at some of the dangers here today. And I think there are three things that we can look at that we should be careful of when we're establishing a memorial, or if we're reflecting on a memorial in our life. Firstly, the memorial could take our focus off of things that need our attention in front of us, that should have our attention. Particularly, we start living in the past at the expense of the present. Secondly, I think we can establish a memorial of the wrong thing, or to the wrong thing, from the wrong source even. We establish a memorial to something that we really have no business establishing a memorial to. We don't need to be dwelling on that in our life. It's not going to help us at all. There is no point where it can help us in our life. So that can be the case as well. Thirdly, the purpose of the memorial was wrong from the get-go, or it has become corrupted over time. So these are three dangers. It can have us it can give us the wrong focus. We can have a memorial of the wrong thing. Or the purpose of the memorial is wrong. So the first thing we're going to look at here is the wrong focus. The memorial, we have the wrong focus of the memorial. or the memorial has now taken our focus off of where it should be. The problem with focusing on the past is that human memories are rarely accurate. Fond memories are often remembered through rose-tinted glasses. The good times in our life, man, there was no times like those good times in the past. There was no bad that happened in our life during that time. Everything was grand. Everything was great. I think it was Greg has put it. Start looking at it in the past, say, the older I get, the better I was. And that's very true. You know, I look at the teen camp here a few weeks ago, and they're out playing sports, and I'm like, man, my group, we would have smoked this group. We were so much better athletically than this group was. And so the older I get, the better I was. We remember those fond memories, a little bit skewed perspective, maybe a little biased. On the other hand, we have those memories of difficult times, those hard times in our life, and we exaggerate the hardships. How many of you guys ever heard your dad say, you know, they went to school through the snow, 10 miles, uphill both ways, and everything like that? There's always, we have the folklore of exaggerations of difficulties. And that's what we do. The hard times in our life, we remember just how bad everything was, and we don't keep it in proper perspective. And so when we are focusing on those things, it can really get our mind off of what we should be focused on. If we hyper-memorialize the fond memories, it can lead to discontentment with the present. If we're looking back at a time like, man, you know, 20 years ago, my life was going great, everything was good, it can lead to discontentment with how things are now. Like, man, now, you know, I don't have that much money in the bank, and now, you know, kids are out of the house, and they never call when I want them to call or anything like that. Can lead to discontentment with our current situation. And of course, that will lead into sin from there. If we really memorialize the hard times in our life, then we just make the ground very fertile for seeds of bitterness, holding grudges. You know, so-and-so did something to me in the past, and I've never forgotten it, and I'm just going to stay bitter the entire time. A lack of perspective, obviously a lack of focus. Everybody has been wronged by somebody else, right? That person didn't wrong you in a spectacular way more than anyone else has been wronged in their life. But we exaggerate, excuse me, we exaggerate the hardships. And we get our focus on that rather than focusing on the fact that God says we should be forgiving. No, we should be tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And so we focus on that, and it gets our mind off of where we should be today. It is hard to walk forward while looking backwards. We can do it, but it's really hard to. In a spiritual life, I don't think you really can do it. It's hard to walk forward while looking backwards. So you're never going to move forward in your Christian life if you are focused on the past, on these past things that have happened in your life. Israel had this problem as well. If you would look at the first part of Malachi chapter 1 in verse number 2, God makes the statement, I have loved thee. And Israel's reply was, wherein hast thou loved us? They were questioning, challenging God's love for them. Why? You look at Israel's history, man, he did so much for them, delivered them from so much. They were his chosen people. And that they're going to say, oh, God doesn't love us. Well, if you understand the book of Malachi and where they were at, they were just a small province in the Persian Empire at that time. Very insignificant on the world stage. And they were looking back maybe at the times of David and of Solomon, where they were the major player in the region. Kings were coming from all around the world to talk with Solomon. And they were looking back at the past, and they said, well, God clearly doesn't love us because we're not where we were in the past. They memorialized their things of the past, and they focused on them instead of focusing on the current instructions from God. This is how I want you to move forward in your life. This was also, think about the Pharisees. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the political leaders, really the nation as a whole, during Christ's time, They were fixated on Abraham and on Moses, on the past things, the past greatness, that they missed the Messiah right in front of them. That's how dangerous it is when we get our mind on the past and we focus on the past, on these past things that have happened, good or bad, in our lives. It can get our mind so out of focus that we miss God's will staring us right in the face, as the Israelites miss the Messiah in the flesh. God Himself standing right among them, doing miracles right in front of them. They're like, nope. They were so focused on the past, memorializing the past, and they said, this cannot be the Messiah. So a danger of a memorial is it can get our focus off of where our focus needs to be. Another danger of a memorial is when we memorialize the wrong thing. There are times when God commands His people to set up memorials. But there's also times, it seems, where He takes action to prevent a memorial from being established. And we're going to look at two different times we see that in Israel's history. First one is in Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34. This would be what we would think maybe a memorial to a good thing. Maybe to Moses. Moses, one of the godliest men you will find in the Word of God. I love Moses. He might be my favorite character in the Bible outside of God. Just a tremendous man of God. And his meekness, his servant's heart, just really an example for us to follow. In Deuteronomy chapter 34, though, we see an account of his death. We'll start in verse number 5. Deuteronomy 34, verse 5. The Bible says, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. Again, Moses, one of the greatest men that is recorded in the Word of God, but God took steps to ensure his burial place would never be found. Why? Well, I don't know the full reason. I think an obvious reason is it is certain the Israelites would have built a shrine to it. You can see their attitude of Moses in Christ's time and the pedestal that they placed him on. If they had his burial place, that would have been what they were burning incense to. That would have been where they were offering up altars at. Not the temple where they're supposed to be doing it. They would have definitely had some worship taking place, really, to Moses. So there's no doubt in my mind that is why God said, nope, you are not going to have a shrine of Moses. And it's interesting, another man that they would have idolized was Elijah. And he was taken up in a chariot of fire, so they didn't have that opportunity. Then we can think of David. David's tomb they had, but Peter actually referenced it as proof that Jesus was the Messiah, because David's body is still there. So any prophecies of the Messiah was not going to be on David. His body saw corruption. And so that was even used by God. The fact that David's tomb was there said, look, it just points to the Messiah. But two other ones that the Israelites would have idolized, God took away. It's like he took steps to prevent them from building a memorial to at their tomb. Even good things in our life can hinder us when we memorialize them instead of God. Again, Moses, great man. But we're not supposed to memorialize Moses. We're supposed to look at how God worked through Moses and how Moses was yielded to God. And that's how he was able to accomplish all those things that he did. It was God. Again, I'm not saying forget the profitable things of the past, the good things in our past. What I am saying is don't overemphasize them or don't turn them into something that they are not. Especially people. There are men and women in our country's history that have been memorialized on a national level. We have monuments to the different founding fathers. And I think that's a good thing. On a national level, remember our founding and what the principles that this country was built upon. But in our Christian life, I think we would do well not to memorialize people. Even godly men or godly women that have helped us in the past have been a tremendous help to us. Don't put them any higher than what they should be. Don't start memorializing them. And again, as we look back on good things in our life, we tend to make the good things better than what they are. And so many men of God, people have idolized and put on a pedestal of greater than they actually were. Nowhere in the Word of God does God command a memorial for an individual. Again, He commands different memorials. It's never for a human, for a person. But it's far too common for pastors or for preachers, again, to be exalted because of their positive impact, because of the good things that they have done. They get exalted, and often, and sometimes they get viewed as something more than just sinful flesh. There's different men that I could name a name, and you guys would instantly know what I'm talking about. You say one word of criticism against them, and you obviously are just not saved, and you're on your way to hell. Because how dare you criticize this great man of God? Well, guess what? He still has sinful flesh. He's still a sinner. If it wasn't for God's mercy, he would still be on his way to hell. Just like anybody else. So be careful of memorializing people, because we raise them to a status that they actually are not. And again, if we construct a memorial to a person, what happens when they fail? If that is our strength, that's what we lean on for comfort, what happens when they fall? Everybody does. Everybody sins. So what happens when we find out about something like, I can't believe they would do that? Well, they're sinful flesh. So beware of the danger of memorializing even good things in our past. But humans are a little funny creatures here. We also memorialize bad things. So let's turn over to 2 Kings chapter 9. 2 Kings chapter 9. We'll read verses 36 and 37. Give the background to this chapter. A man named Jehu has been charged by God to wipe out Ahab's house. All the descendants of Ahab, anybody connected to Ahab's house, Jehu has been instructed to kill. And so one of the ones he killed in this is Jezebel herself. And so she's been thrown down from a window. She's died. He left her body sitting there, went back. They had some supper. And then verse 34, he says, look, we probably should bury her. She's the daughter of a king. She's the wife of a king. We should probably bury her. Verse 36, wherefore they came again. So they found nothing. Wherefore they came again and told him. And he said, this is the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, in the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel. And the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, this is Jezebel. So the dogs had eaten everything, basically nothing left. And we see the reason of it is so people can't point to a grave, point to a place and say, there's Jezebel. So God took steps to remove a bad thing from becoming a memorial, in a sense, to the Israelites here. Again, humans, we do this all the time. It's baffling. It really is. But we memorialize bad things in our lives, and we focus on those. You can think of people who have had past tragic things happen to them. And if they never move forward, if they never move past, they constantly memorialize that horrible thing that happened in their life. They're never going to move forward. They just get stuck right there. And they live a life of victimhood. They live a life where they cannot do anything else but stay in that place and meditate on that, on the past, and memorialize the past. Sometimes it's a hurt from somebody. Sometimes it's first financial struggles as well. Some people memorialize. Again, a focus on the past hurts us from moving forward in our lives. Think about people who have been betrayed, and they make a memorial to that betrayal. Memorial to betrayal in the past hinders us from trusting in the future. Maybe your spouse has betrayed your trust in the past, and you have memorialized that. Something that you dwell upon every day, you're never going to build the trust that is needed in that relationship. If that relationship is going to be healthy and God-pleasing, you have to move forward. You have to break down that memorial and move forward. You have to have trust in a relationship between a husband and wife. But if you have memorialized a past hurt, you'll never get there. You'll never build that trust. Maybe you've had some extreme financial difficulties in the past. Sometimes that stops people from giving the way God wants them to give. Like, well, I would give, but man, I've had those times in my life where I didn't have enough money to pay bills, and I know I've got, you know, $500,000 in the bank, but I can't give anything to missions because, you know, financial difficulty might come upon me again. Memorializing the bad things, even the evil things in our life, we can memorialize sin in a sense. We think of like, okay, we've got to guard against this particular sin. We've got to guard against it, And we just focus on that, on sin. And we actually open the door wide open for temptation because that's all our mind is dwelling upon is that particular sin. It's like somebody trying to get over alcohol. They're like, got to stay away. And then all they're doing is just remembering how good it tasted to them. And it just opens the door to salvation. So even sin itself, we can set up a memorial to and dwell upon. And it hurts our ability to move forward. A burial site for Jezebel may have actually caused some people to seek to emulate her wickedness. And seek maybe to go after Baal worship. She was a successful queen, according to worldly standards, secular standards. She's the daughter of a king. The Sidonian king. She marries Ahab. Ahab, one of the more competent kings of Israel. Again, secularly speaking. People from the world could easily look at her and say, man, you know what? She had a good life. Maybe she was doing some stuff that I should be doing. So even sin, even evil things, we can set up a memorial to and start to do. And sometimes that seems like ludicrous in our minds. Why would anybody seek to emulate Jezebel? Why would they set up a memorial to someone that wicked? Well, it happens. And we, again, establish something like that in our lives as well. To the bad things, maybe to the evil things in our life. So we can get a wrong focus. We can memorialize the wrong thing. And also, we can get the wrong purpose for memorials. And we just can look back at our text. The brazen serpent, 2 Kings 18:4 there. Think about how difficult it would have been for Hezekiah. That is a tough decision. You are taking, again, I already talked about how the children of Israel, how they viewed Moses. And now you're taking one of the last physical things from Moses. The only other thing would have been you would go back to the instruments of the temple and the tabernacle. But one of the last physical things from the time of Moses, something that Moses himself constructed, Hezekiah is like, nope, we're destroying it. That's a tough decision. That shows his integrity, shows his character, and his desire to please God and turn the nation back to God. The purpose of the brazen serpent had been definitely corrupted and misappropriated. And is there something in our life, maybe that we have memorialized, that has turned into something that glorifies self rather than glorifying God? We have this tendency, especially with past victories. Victories in our past can be a source of comfort and encouragement for us. They absolutely can. You know, you can look back and say, God provided victory for me back then. He can provide victory for me now. But they can also be twisted to glorify self rather than glorifying God. And say, you know what? The reason I had that victory in the past is because how awesome I am. It's because I just have this encyclopedic knowledge of the Word of God, and that's what enabled me to win that victory in the past. It's really just my incredible memory that helped with that. That's why I got that victory. And it's a little humorous saying it out loud. But man, that's how we think sometimes. That, yeah, I know God really was in control, but man, the reason I got to that position in my career is because of how hard I worked and, you know, how smart I am, and I have this intuition in this particular career field. That's why I was able to I know God's in control and everything, but really, it's just, you know, I was the right person for that job. And we twist it and we glorify self rather than glorifying God for these victories. 1 Samuel chapter 4, you have the children of Israel getting ready to go into battle against the Philistines. And they take the Ark of the Covenant, something that was a symbol of God's presence, something that would be a memorial to God, should have been a memorial to God. And they're like, you know what? This is our path to victory, is carrying the Ark of the Covenant into the camp. And this is how we achieve victory, is just by having the Ark right here. Almost like a good luck charm. And they thought it was going to guarantee them a victory, but it didn't. Matter of fact, they lost the battle. The Ark of God was captured by the Philistines, of all people. And Israel was devastated. You had somebody naming their child Ichabod. The glory has departed from Israel now that the Ark of the Covenant has been captured. They were looking at it at a symbol, maybe a memorial even, and like, this is what's going to achieve victory for me. But that was never the purpose of the Ark of the Covenant. It never was. It was supposed to be a symbol of God's holiness. It wasn't what you led into battle. What led you into battle? They took something and they put the wrong purpose. They attached the wrong purpose to it. And is there a blessing in your life that God has given to you that you have changed the purpose of to glorify yourself rather than glorifying God for it? Or maybe you're not necessarily glorifying yourself, but you're not glorifying God for the blessing that He has put in your life. That can be your abilities. It can be a past victory. It can be numerous things. Have we taken blessings from the past and twisted them around to mean something that they were never meant to be? God never gave us victory in the past to promote us, to glorify us. It was for us to get our eyes to Him and focus on Him. And so we're going to finish up here this morning looking at what is the design for memorials. What's the purpose for a memorial in our life? Let's turn to Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4, you have one of the more famous memorials commanded by God here. As the children of Israel have crossed over the Jordan, they're crossing over the Jordan River. And God commanded Joshua, look, He says you need to take some stones out of the Jordan, out of the bed of the Jordan River, and you need to build a memorial, place them on top of each other, 12 stones, one for each tribe, and put them wherever you camp on the east, on the west side of Jordan. That's where you put this memorial. Chapter 4, verse 20. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which He dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. We have one of the clearest reasons for establishing a memorial in our life given in this set of verses. It is to magnify God and to cause us to fear Him, to keep that reverence in place. And a memorial that is God-pleasing will always have this purpose, and we'll keep this purpose if it's going to stay God-pleasing. You know, I love how it's put here. In verse 23, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you. All right? Think about, well, maybe you're one of the priests about to step into the water of the Jordan River, because unlike the Red Sea, which God parted before anyone stepped in, the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant had to step in the water first, and then the water parted. So maybe you're one of those priests, and your son asks, what's these stones all about? Would you say, well, you know what, man, that's when I displayed great faith. The Jordan River was at a flood. man, the waters were raging, but me and you know, Abiathar over here, we stepped into the water, and man, we just showed great faith in God, and God got part of the water there, but man, he waited until we showed that, demonstrated that great faith. You could easily see how that could get turned into something it was never supposed to be. But that's not the reason given. He says, look, it's to tell everybody, you are supposed to tell your children this: the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan. Why do we do this, Dad? Why are we doing this in our family? Why is this something that we constantly go back to? It's because of how God moved. This is what God did in our family. This is what God did for me. And you can exalt God, magnify God to your children, to your coworkers, to your friends, to your church. Different memorials God has established, they all have a specific purpose, and it's along these lines. We can think of the Passover. You know, in Exodus chapter 13, there's a specific reason given to keep the Passover every year. And the different feasts that they had, there were specific reasons given for that. For the church, we have a particular memorial that we are commanded to keep. That's the Lord's Supper. And we are given a particular reason for that. It's not for salvation, as the Catholics and other denominations might have you to believe. We don't keep the Lord's Supper for salvation. It is to show the Lord's death until he come. Well, what does that mean? Well, it could mean a variety of things. One of the things is we just remind ourselves of what God did for us. To lift up Jesus Christ and God himself and how he laid out the plan of salvation. And there was nothing that would stop him from fulfilling this plan, not even the death of his own son. And there's so many ways we can take that. But that memorial is set up for a specific purpose, and we need to keep keeping it. It is something we are commanded to keep. So memorials can be good. We have to keep the right purpose. So what purpose do your memories, let's put it that way, what purpose do those memories that you have in your life, what purpose do they serve? Mind you know of good things? Maybe you, a little bit too much. Maybe you are focusing so much on the good things that you become discontent. Do our memorials, do our memories cause us to ponder on the greatness of our God? That's what they're supposed to be. That's what they're supposed to do. Do they remind us of the tremendous power and the grace that God has bestowed upon us and what he has done in our lives? That is the purpose. We're going to finish up the message here. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 7 at a different memorial that was established. This was established by Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 7. We'll read verses 10 through 12. 1 Samuel 7, 10 through 12. It says, and as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So Samuel establishes a memorial to remind Israel how the Lord won the battle for them. And if you're not familiar with it, this is the exact same battlefield that was used in 1 Samuel chapter 4 when the Israelites brought the Ark of God to the battle and lost. Same battlefield. And now Israel wins. And God fights for Israel. Well, why is that? It's because they've turned back to him. If you look earlier in the chapter, they're like, look, we need to turn back to God. And Samuel guides them in it. And they're actually offering, as he's offering up sacrifices, when the Philistines come up. They weren't even ready for battle. The Israelites weren't even ready for battle. This wasn't their army that had gathered to fight the Philistines. They were gathering to worship God. It was a religious gathering. And the Philistines came up. And you see from the text, from the wording, it's like the Philistines were beaten before Israel even got to the battle. God fought for Israel. because Israel was fearing God. They were seeking God at this time. They weren't relying on past victories. They weren't taking something and misappropriating its purpose, using it for something that it was never supposed to be. They were fearing God, and because of that, God moved in a great way. And so Samuel established a memorial. These are the kind of things to remember in our lives, to set up a memorial to when God moved. And you know, I had nothing to do with it. It was all God. Salvation should be one of the first things we think about. Nothing, we have nothing to do with it. But so many people establish a memorial to their baptism or to their church membership, and they say, that's what saved me. But it's not. It's all of God. Salvation is all of God. What have you memorialized in your life? Maybe there's something in your past that you can't move on from. Don't memorialize things that should be forgotten or should be diminished in your life. Don't get so focused on the past that you lose out, you get out of focus, and you can't operate in the present. You can't move forward in the present. And again, make sure that those things that we think upon, that we dwell upon, are reminding us of the greatness of God. Not inflating self, not causing thoughts of bitterness, but reminding us of the greatness of our God and how He has moved in our lives. All right, let's go to the Lord here in prayer. We're moving into a time of invitation. Every head bowed, every eye closed.